Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bus Weekly's watching this one tonight. Here's Jay Daniels on the run. And going down the sideline. Caught by Brian Thomas Jr. And he will take it to the house. 86 yards.
A touchdown from Jaden Daniels, LSU football. Is Brian Thomas Jr. going to be a Buffalo Bill 1 week from today? The Bills may have to trade up. They could stay at 28. A lot of interesting mock drafts seeing where Brian Thomas Jr. falls, but certainly one of the players that Bills fans have been looking at as a possible fit for their wide receiver room, a area wide receiver where the Bills are certainly going to target at some point, probably early in the 2024 NFL draft. Joining us on the Wester hotline right now is Wilson Alexander. He covers LSU football for The Advocate and NOLA News. Wilson, it is Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Sal and Joe. It's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, you got it, man. We just heard Brian Thomas there catching a touchdown pass. He's the guy that's in our sights first and foremost. We can talk about Malik Nabers as well. I don't think the Bills will be able to get high enough to trade to draft him, but you never know. So let's start with Brian Thomas Jr. Is the hype real for what the Bills would be getting in Brian Thomas Jr.? Seems like kind of an all-Mr. Everything wide receiver everywhere you look.
Well, you know, this is a guy who didn't really even start playing much football until later on in his high school career here in Louisiana. He was a basketball guy, and that basketball background has translated to the football field in a big way. But he's also fast. You know, he can stretch the field vertically, and that's what you saw last year. You know, his first years at LSU were okay. He never had more than 400 yards in a season. And last year going into the year was, can he break out? Can he finally be a true, you know, SEC number two receiver to complement Malik? Well, he ends up being a true SEC one. And then having the two of them gives LSU one of the best tandems in the country. And so, you know, Brian has certainly been able to, you know, have that rise that everybody wanted to see out of him this past year. He's got a lot of great qualities. He can jump. He can stretch the field, like I said. And he's probably a better route runner than people give him credit for. But he's had a fantastic season to put himself in this position.
What explains for you, for him, like there are some analytic numbers, or not even like super advanced numbers, just like yards per route run and stuff like that, that are a little bit lower for him. What do you think explains that? Could it be as simple as Nabers is in the offense and you're just always going to be second fiddle when you have a guy of that talent level on the other side, or I should say really in the slot?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say because, you know, you could take a theory. There's so many possible different theories for those sorts of things, right? Like, you know, Nabers, you know, you had him. You also had Kyron Lacy who as their number three who, you know, they liked, and he was able to do some different things too. And, you know, it's also just kind of what they asked Brian to do in this offense last year. And Malik to some extent too was, you know, but Malik where he was sort of your sometimes their intermediate guy, Brian was really like the guy going deep a lot. And so maybe it was just sort of what LSU asked him to do last year and what the offense required of him. Maybe, you know, that's part of it, but it also like, yeah, like would he have done more if Malik wasn't in there? Possibly. I don't know. It's hard to have a definitive answer to that when really, because for LSU last year, none of that really mattered. It was because they had the number one offense in the country, you know, and it was, whatever it worked for them last year just sort of worked. And it's hard to say what the reason for that would be. Mm-hmm.
Wilson, a couple of things the Bills really want in their wide receiver group and something they've talked a lot about this specific year, run after catch ability. Catch, with the ball in your hands, what kind of playmaking ability can you have? That's one of the reasons they went out and got Curtis Samuel. They're going to move him around and do a lot of things with him. So that's number one. Tell us what Brian Thomas Jr. can do with the ball in his hands once he does catch it. And number two, what about blocking as a wide receiver? They just lost Gabe Davis, a very, very good blocker who was on the field 95% of the time because he could play in any situation. So run after catchability and blocking ability for Brian Thomas Jr.
The run after catch ability is certainly there. I mean, Malik was probably stood out more in that regard last season. His run after catch is one of probably his greatest assets. But Brian was, you could see it, you know, on those deep routes. One play that just sort of stands out to me in that regard. It's not necessarily maybe the best example of this because he had just open field. But LSU was playing Army, and Jaden Daniels rolls out to his right and just sort of flicks a ball to Brian Thomas because he broke off his route, you know, scramble drill rules, started running deep, and caught a ball basically on his fingertips and just went. That's the thing, his speed, I mean, he ran, what was it, like the 4.33, 4.34 at the combine. So, you know, he's got that speed downfield to separate from people, and that really shows up, I think, a lot last year in his tape when he, in terms of yards after catch, like we said, they had him running, going deep a good bit. And so, you know, he'd catch a ball over his shoulder and then just take off. And I feel like that happened a good bit during the season. We even saw a kind of similar sort of moment in some ways anyway at LSU's Pro Day in terms of, you know, vertical route down the field on the right sideline, catches up to a ball that Jaden throws deep, pulls it in just with his fingertips and, you know, steps into the end zone. And I think that's sort of where you saw his yards after catch the most. He'll probably need to continue to show what he can do once he gets the ball in his hands on, you know, shorter and intermediate routes. I just doesn't like stand out in my mind after last season necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it's there because of the speed, you know, and also a guy who's, you know, got the length that he does. The blocking on the perimeter, you know, it's hard to say for sure, frankly, because LSU last year did not run to the perimeter very much. Like there wasn't, the receivers had to block, don't get me wrong, but like, it wasn't like it was as much of a focus of the offense last year. They were a really heavy inside zone team, zone read team. But they also had to be able to, you know, set up blocks downfield for when Jaden Daniels would scramble. So, you know, he did have to be aware of that and be good at that. It was never an issue by any means. You know, it wasn't something like, oh, gosh, Brian Thomas, you know, can't block on the perimeter or anything like that. I mean, he's a guy who's known for, you know, being willing to do that. It's just not something that LSU really had a ton of in the offense last year because they didn't really run like perimeter runs and they weren't running like receiver screens where you needed to block for your teammate all that much. But I do think he can do it. He just wasn't really – they didn't do a whole lot of it last year where it was like such an important piece of the offense.
Man, everything I'm hearing you say, like it's just reminding me about a lot of the stuff I feel like we heard about DK Metcalf when he entered the league knowing they're different players. Actually, I think – you talked about the speed and athleticism. It's historic in that I think Thomas with Metcalf and then maybe A.D. Mitchell this year are like the only three receivers to ever run 4.35 at 6.3 or bigger. Like they're at a historic level for their size and speed. So rather than just ask you, like, does he remind you of Metcalf? Like Metcalf came right into the league after not producing in college a lot and was just ready to go, one of the top two receivers in Seattle. And Wilson, like, that's kind of the situation here. Like Diggs out, Gabe Davis out, like they're gonna need someone to eat up targets right away. So I guess my question would be, is how pro ready you think he is versus how much of a project or how much work he needs to become a fully formed NFL receiver?
I think he's pretty darn ready. I mean, you know, will he need to continue to develop and get coached up in certain areas of his game? Of course. I would imagine that most rookies do. But, like, I think that there's so much that you can have him do right away, like we talked about, as a vertical threat. And then while maybe some other parts of his game catch up, like, that can still be something that is used right away and probably used to great effectiveness, especially, you know, when we talk about the Bills and Josh Allen's arm, like, you know, send him deep and Josh will probably be able to hit him. So it's I do think that it would probably, you know, even if it wasn't the Bills, I think that Brian Thomas will be able to have an effect as a rookie right away. Is he going to, you know, have, I don't want to say like definitively, oh, you know, make some prediction and, you know, be caught on freezing cold takes that he's going to be like some fantastic, you know, thing right off the bat. It's hard to know.
That'll happen in this business. We know that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I try to avoid those situations. But I do think he'll be an effective wide receiver as a rookie. And while the other parts of his game catch up, you know, still be able to do quite a few things that help an offense.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wilson Alexander, by the way, on the Western Hotline, LSU football. Instead of asking you to break down Malik Nabers, because I don't think anybody really feels the Bills will get high enough to be able to do that, how different are Nabers and Thomas? How far away is Thomas from Nabers, maybe even their ceiling and what they can be in the NFL from what you see?
You know, in terms of, like, how far they how far away they are from each other in terms of, like, skill set and ceiling, like, it's probably not that far. I mean, these are two really good receivers. They were both, like, simultaneously the, kind of the catalyst for what LSU did a lot last year. I would say in terms of where they are right now, though, like, Malik is probably a little bit more developed. I mean, he had a 1,000-yard season as a sophomore. He had a little bit more playing time as a sophomore than Brian Thomas did. He's the one who was a Blitnikoff finalist last year and ended up by the end of his career, was breaking some LSU records. So he might be like a little bit further along at this stage. But I think in terms of what their ceiling is, it's probably about the same. They can both max out their potential. But Malik, their skill sets are what, when you ask that question, what stands out to me is what's quite different. Whereas, you know, Malik has that speed, obviously. I mean, he ran like very similar time at his pro day, but he's shorter than Brian Thomas is. You know, Brian Thomas is like 6'3", almost 6'4", and Malik is about 6 foot flat. One other slight measurable that stands out is they have the same size hands. Like Malik, even though they're that height difference, Malik wears like a 4XL glove, and he's got these massive hands, and he's, you know, Brian does too, but, you know, Malik for his size, it really stands out. And Malik is also, he's a little bit maybe like, we talked about the yards after catch standing out from him last year. He did a little bit more on like the short and intermediate game and then turning up field. It's really hard for defenders to tackle him in space last year. Not that it wasn't hard for them to tackle Brian too, but that stood out more on Malik's tape and in his game last year. So he does more in that regard maybe than Brian Thomas did. But it doesn't, you know, again, that's kind of just what they had them doing in the offense to some degree, partially because it was what fit their skill set best and helped max them out. So they're different, I think, styles of receiver, but they could both end up in the same place based on their talent level.
All right. How much should we fear New England if they draft Jaden Daniels at number 3?
You know, if they're able to use him properly, then you should, you know, probably fear him.
Or respected at least a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, again, it's with every quarterback, it's about actually, you know, having the right system around him and the right people around him to be able to, you know, get everything out of him. I think that's true in every case, and will be with Jaden too. But, you know, if he's put in the right system in New England and they're able to use what he does so well, then yeah, he should be respected and down the line here maybe feared a little bit, especially as he sort of gets used to the NFL. He'll probably start to get better if he's able, given that chance to succeed, because that's what you sort of saw that arc in his college career. You know, it was year 5 where he had that breakout, and it was also year 2 in a stable system. Like, stability really, really helped him, and so if he's able to find that in the NFL, then he's probably going to have a great chance to succeed. I mean, it's a guy who, you know, the things that he can do with his legs put so much stress on defenses, and if that translates to the NFL, then he will definitely be a handful.
Wilson Alexander, thanks for doing this, man. I know we've been trying to get you on, and I really appreciate it. I'm glad we had a chance to get it to work out, and who knows? I mean, there's quite a few LSU prospects that could wind up getting drafted. We didn't touch on several of them. We got a center over there. You got a defensive lineman over there. So who knows? Maybe after the draft, we'll get you back on and talk about somebody coming from the Tigers to the Buffalo Bills. Thanks a lot for doing this today.
Thanks for having me, y'all, anytime.
All right, thank you very much. Wilson Alexander, who covers LSU football. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. When we do, Joe will wrap you to the top of the hour, and then we're going to have Brandon Bean live here at One Bills Drive, Bills Media Day, for their first round of workouts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.